You found your forever girl, and for the first time, Proverbs 31 makes complete sense. She truly is worth more than rubies. Let John Thomas Jewelers help you find the perfect engagement ring. We have over 2,000 rings in stock to see and try on, the ability to custom make any ring you can dream of, and prices you thought you'd only find online. John Thomas Jewelers at 2440 Louisiana Boulevard on the third floor of the Lewis University Building. Stop in and let us know you're a fellow KNKT listener.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. Have you ever wondered why people dread buying a new car? Maybe it's because of the way they were treated in the past. Maybe they were disrespected, or maybe they were even lied to. Well, none of us can change the past, but at Power Ford, we can help you write the future. We're a different type of dealership, so you have a different type of experience. We believe in doing the right thing, building trust, and leading with our values. Faith, family, and then Ford. We're here to help. Just ask. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that according to Simmons Research, 72% of Christian radio listeners prefer to buy from a business that advertises on their radio station? 62% say they would shop more at a known business if it advertised on Christian radio. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com. And I'll show you that KNKT means business.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for staying with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Talking to Gil and Todd about security and churches and things is almost shocking to me that there's so many people out there that would do things that would harm our children. And we hope everybody out there be encouraged to come out to the conference on October 12th here on the campus of Calvary Albuquerque. All churches, all educators, everybody welcome. And it'll be from 9 to 4:30 on October 12th. We're now joined by Dr. R. Downs. Of course, he is the former owner and founder of R. Downs Nutrition Center up on Montgomery. Been around a long time, a regular guest here on ABQ Connect. Dr. Downs, welcome in.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about antibiotics today and about other kinds of supplements kind of act as antibiotics. So let's start off with, you know, this is a little bit off script, but I know that there was a time where doctors were just prescribing antibiotics for anything and everything. Is that kind of thing still happening?
To a certain extent. We have to remember that one of the most wonderful things that has happened in medicine, of course, was the development way back when of penicillin. Mm. Now, I'm allergic to penicillin, but I can still talk about it and any of those family of drugs. So it was extremely important for that to happen. And as time progresses, they're going to have more and more really good quality antibiotics have to be developed because of the antibiotics that are in our food chain. Now, you're probably aware that you can see advertisements now for chicken. It's antibiotic-free.
Yes.
Meat, antibiotic-free, which is what I try to do. Because they realized that flooding the entire food chain with antibiotics caused antibiotic-resistance bacteria. Mm,
gotcha.
And so I can't explain anything. For example, my family is cis-formers, and so I can't take Keflex, for example. It puts me on the floor. Without Benadryl, I probably wouldn't have woke up. Mm. And then, of course, nasty rashes from amoxicillin. The only antibiotics I can take is the zithromycin-type family, the myosins.
Mm.
So I'm limited as to what I can do, so I have to be somewhat careful, especially during seasonal changes. And you should also note, too, and just keep in your mind, that if you look at the literature all around the world, each part of the world has a different microbe or a different antibiotic-resistant pathway, depending on what kind of stuff they got in their guts already. Everybody's different. As a matter of fact, you read about a pregnant woman, for example, has a nice baby. Well, what she is fed and what she eats reflects on the child.
Yes.
Also, whether it's a breastfed or the colostrum concept versus just soy milk or something like that, they have a different buildup of tissue and these microbes in their gut. Some good, some bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so antibiotics are still very common. But there's a remedy that you can use almost in every case to basically compensate for taking them and the side effects of taking them. And you probably noticed in the paper recently there's been articles on some drugs that are going to be pulled off the market probably because it does affect the gut and other immune system issues. And so, a matter of fact, I think they've already done that in one of them. And as a result of that, you get diverticulosis and other bowel problems. So it's easy and to really cause some problems. But the fixing is to understand two things. One is what is a probiotic and a prebiotic. A prebiotic is a whole bunch of food that actually provides fiber for the microbes to live on. It's like your gut can be a petri dish. So after you've taken antibiotics and you sterilized your insides pretty much, it allows the opportunity for bad bacteria to come back and get you in the gut.
Ah, gotcha.
So what you want to do is to repopulate. And one of the first things is to think about things that have a prebiotic effect. In other words, food for the bugs, so to speak. And that would include anything from bananas, for example. It's very soothing. Banana pudding releases pectin, good fiber. Barley is good fiber. Avocado is a good fiber. And asparagus especially has a product called inulin in it. Now, chicory is also good, but you have to go down to Louisiana and get some good chicory coffee if you like the stuff. I don't particularly care for it. Yeah. And, of course, Jerusalem artichokes contain inulin along with a lot of other foods that contain inulin. And inulin is one of those unsorbable fibers that act as a food for all the bugs. So there's about 1,000 different things from Kojak root to this root to that root. One of the things that we use and I like is agar-agar, which is made from red algae, which is nothing more than a vegetarian jello.
Okay.
And so that particular product does have a good benefit when you take it from a vegetarian standpoint because it really populates the area with good food. It's just like pouring trough and hogs to eat it.
Are these things that you recommend that people might be using while they are taking
As soon as they're finished. And then you want to basically repopulate it for as long as it takes, but measuring side effects too. There's going to be all kinds of different side effects depending on what you're taking. But we like to use things like arrowroot, any type of fibery material. Oats is wonderful every day for breakfast when you want a fiber that also provides fuel. And all that's good. I use a lot of this one because it's cheap and efficient, called acacia powder, which is nothing more than a powdered fiber which just those bugs love to eat. And so it helps to grow the bacteria. So when you go online, for example, you can use the word prebiotic. What foods contain inulin?
Now, doctor, there's some people freaking out about your statement about bugs, but we're talking about good bugs.
Good bugs, bad bugs, bugs. Nobody's going to freak out over my bugs.
So this is bacteria that you need in your stomach.
You have good stuff and you have bad stuff. And one of the articles I just read, 100 trillion bacteria in the average human.
Wow.
Now, that's one or two more than I'm used to counting.
Sure.
So, but you can read about the probiotics and what, then you add what you want to your diet that fits into that category that you like. Because there's a lot of things that'll cause problems, like Jerusalem artichokes. Grows around here, they're called sunchokes. Very popular with the vegetarian crowd. But if you eat them too many raw, you get bloat. In other words, it's hard to digest that starch. You have to start a little bit and work your way up. You can also cook them and make mashed potatoes out of them, but they're Jerusalem artichokes or sunchokes. That's a good source if you like them. So for people who grow them in their backyard, and next year I'll have a nice crop, you have to cook them, and it works really, really good as a prebiotic. So understand the word pre. So if you're taking antibiotics, you're done with your course, you may or may not have symptoms, but you want to repopulate the bacteria, first you look at prebiotic foods, and then you add the ones you like. Now, if you can't stand asparagus, then don't eat asparagus because it has some antimicrobial properties in it because of the asparagine.
I love asparagus.
Well, that's really good. It contains a lot of fiber that also bacteria like to eat, the good bacteria. I'll change the word bugs.
I'm just teasing you.
I know, but you're probably right a little bit. And then you want to pick out a really good acidophilus product to choose from, and there's several. I'll use Claire Labs as one example. And Jaro is another good brand that has quality product that I've used myself. The best one I use, like now we're going into the season, my voice gets gravelly, this immune system problems start cropping up, and worst case scenario, I'd have to go on Zithromax, but I haven't been that bad where I even want to get close. This one is called Advanced Naturals. It's the ultimate Floramax 50 billion little cultures in this. And there's 12 strains of bacteria. So you don't get one, you get a whole bunch of 12. So we use this consistently the first go around, and then I will switch to others as time progresses. But this is my big gun. And it's the ultimate Floramax 50 billion little bugs, excuse me, little bacteria, that really help to repopulate the flora. Then I use, on a regular basis, small juice glasses. This is me. A kefir, plain kefir. It has another 12 strains of bacteria. So by taking the pre-fiber concept and then taking the pro-fiber pro concept, you get both worlds. One is food, and the other one is actual bacteria to repopulate the flora. And then you have to look at side effects. Now, going back, 10 to 15 years ago, way before I retired, we used to do stool samples on people with really serious problems. We'd send them off to the laboratory, and they would then find out all the good bugs and all the bad bugs that's in there, and then we would then formulate a plan to get rid of them. Gotcha. Or even sometimes we had to use some antibiotics. But anyway, on those, that was easy. The price was $200 or $300. Wasn't bad. Now the same company bought out the other company and bought out another company, and now they're $900. So the average doctor isn't going to do that.
Right.
The average person isn't going to do that for $900, when in reality, you could probably take together what I just told you and replace the bacteria very nicely over a long period of time by providing those type of foods that provide you the precursor and then the actual impact bacteria.
Outstanding. Dr. Robert Downs of R. Downs Nutrition Center. They're located up on Montgomery. What is the address, Dr. Downs?
5401.
5401 Montgomery.
Oh, 7400. 7400 Montgomery.
7400.
Yes.
Okay.
That's my home.
Oh, that's my fault. 7400 Montgomery for the R. Downs Nutrition Center. And a lot of the products that Dr. Downs is talking about are things that you can buy there. But a lot of things he's recommending are things that are natural in food.
Sure.
Kefirs and those kind of things.
You want to add all those things. Store. And then you try to find the fiber that you can add. For example, the acacia, they recommend a tablespoon a day. I go a teaspoon.
More with R. Downs right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Paul Jones in Albuquerque focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Paul Jones in Albuquerque at 505-881-6949 and put the life back in life insurance.
Oh, hey, Heidi. What's happening?
Oh, nothing. Just trying to think of what to do on the 31st.
Well, hey, lucky for you, a little bird told me that Calvary has got some pretty sweet plans for a fun, safe Halloween alternative event, and it's happening at both the Osuna and the Westside campuses.
Please tell me there's going to be some candy.
Well, there's going to be candy, popcorn, games, food, face painting, bouncy houses, prizes, and more.
When is it again?
It's coming up here on October 31st, so that's a Thursday. And don't forget, it is happening at both the Osuna and Westside campuses. Details can be found online at calvarynm.church.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
For King and Country, Burn the Ships World Tour.
G'day to you, it's Joel and Luke here.
This fall, we'd like to personally invite you to Burn the Ships of the World Tour on October 19th at Tingley Coliseum.
A stage inspired by the bow of a ship and their most elaborate yet intimate production yet. Every song from the new CD, Burn the Ships, plus all your favorites.
So we cannot wait to embark on this voyage with you.
For King and Country, live.
Reserve your seats right now at forkingcountry.com.
Relationships are one of God's most precious gifts to us. Hi, I'm Bob Lapine. Each day on Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, we look at what Jesus described as the two most important commandments, loving God and loving each other, especially in our family relationships. Join us each weekday on KNKT-FM for Family Life Today to develop godly marriages and families that change the world one home at a time.
Time now for today's MoneyWise Minute with teacher Rob West. The Bible encourages investing, but it also encourages minimizing risk. One way to do that is to diversify. Invest in a lot of different things. Another way to reduce risk is to avoid market volatility. You can do this by dollar cost averaging. That means you invest a consistent amount of money each month, buying fewer shares when stock prices are high and more shares when prices are low. This way, your cost per share is averaged out over the year, yet you're consistently building your portfolio and not getting hurt as much by a bad market. Remember, your investment time horizon should be at least 5 years, preferably 10. And as you near retirement, what you buy will need to change. But that's a topic for another day.
And we can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you visit us online at moneywise.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back at ABQ Connect. Thanks for staying with us. Dr. R. Downs in studio with me this afternoon. And here's the big question of the afternoon. We've got one more segment together. There's never enough time with you, Doctor. And I know a lot of our folks ask questions off air to relate to you. And here's one of them. How does the improper digestion of our food contribute to illness in our bodies? It's my understanding improper digestion is responsible for a lot of human illness.
Well, including some mental issues, too, and that's in the literature. Mm-hmm. So if you take a look at what the digestion is supposed to do, which is digest the stuff you stick in your mouth, mm-hmm. then translate that into certain nutrients that have been necessary for human life for centuries. I mean, since the beginning of time, this is the way it is. You eat, the body breaks down everything. And the concept, I should also mention, about the basic five food groups or this group and that group, pyramid systems and all that, these are usually manufactured things. There are cultures in the world that eats nothing like you do or I do, mm-hmm. that live to a ripe old age. Or if you go up to tundra country, they eat differently. You go up to Eskimo country, they eat differently. Mm-hmm. All throughout, there's no oranges in the Himalayas unless somebody brings them in. So you can't talk about vitamin C and oranges being necessary for somebody who lives in the Himalayas.
Right.
So everything is different. But at birth, wherever you are in the world, your body sets certain microbes as being present there based on the circumstances you're in, wherever you're at. So the gut is supposed to digest. Now, you've got ptyalin enzymes in the mouth. You've got the acids from the parietal cells. You've got enzymes dumped from the liver, bile, and things like that. You've got pancreatic enzymes. All those things are necessary to counterbalance each other in order to digest your food and break them down into units that can be absorbed, assimilated, and utilized to maintain cellular health. So you have to have all that. So is disease as possible? Yes. So ask yourself the question. You can even go online for this one. This is a good one. We think without the microbes, what nutrients are going to be majorly impacted by not being able to have the bacteria there? All of your B vitamins, number one.
Oh.
Without the good bacteria, you can't take and break those things down. So they manufacture them. You've got vitamin K issues involving that. So you've got clot mechanism issues and bone issues. Vitamin D, all those things require good quality bacteria. But it goes on and on and on. We have a synergistic relationship with nature. Mm. Everything you put in must be broken down and then utilized. Mm. Just like iron. Mm-hmm. You have iron, like raw material iron that you put into your system, maybe eating liver or something like that. But then you also have to break that iron down into compatible nutrient packages where you can absorb it. Because you've got ferritin, which is iron storage. You have a warehouse for it. But there's a whole bunch of steps to get that iron where it's supposed to go, and you can suppress it, for example, with zinc, which suppresses copper, and you can't absorb iron without adequate copper, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it just goes on and on what these relationship and links are. So you want to keep your bacterial flora in wonderfully good shape.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean...
So we're not just talking about people that have had antibiotic treatment.
No, it's anything. You want to keep the flora good. And the simplest things to do, for example, the reason why I did the good acidophilus that I mentioned, because I take high dosage of that when I feel like I'm slipping a little bit and weather changes. Mm-hmm. And that really, really helps. Then I'm down to what I'm taking about two now. Mm-hmm. But I take the fiber. I've got my greens. I've got all that fibery stuff. Mm-hmm. I like my oatmeal, of course. And I like those fibery things. And I love avocados. I like asparagus. So a lot of those things I like.
And those all facilitate the growth of good bacteria in your stomach.
Absolutely. All those things are not equally important, but as important. Well, I can't think of anything else.
How about a food like a Pop-Tart that'll sit on the shelf of your pantry for 6 months and never diminish one bit in terms of your ability to eat it? Well, isn't that a little scary if you eat that? And what are you ingesting into your body?
Well, from an archaeological standpoint, it may be here in a few thousand years. No, I'm joking about that. They always, one of the fast food places, they always said, well, that thing will be there 100 years from now.
Yeah.
Or 1,000 years from now. Basically, you're all going to have preservatives. You're going to have problems. Now, a lot of the chicken companies, of course, are using either odor removed oregano. They're also using thyme. Probably thyme is more important when you add that to water and chickens because it's an antibiotic. Thyme is antimicrobial. So everybody is switching to that, plus cleaner conditions. It's like we have problems with food right now with bad bacteria. And look at Salmonella, E. coli, Shigella, Klebsiella, things like that. People who handle food with dirty hands, and now we get a lot of food poisoning problems. But this is why I tell people also, if you want to have some antimicrobial good stuff, you have 150 herbs and spices that have antimicrobial influence on the human digestion. Mm-hmm. This is why years ago, before we had ice, before we had all the preservative techniques, then what did you do with that food to make it preservable? You fermented it. That's number one. So fermented food, all quality fermented food, is good for building up good bacteria. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Then you've got your food like kefir, yogurt, like a good Greek yogurt. All of these things were done that way in order to preserve them. When I was growing up, you had these giant crocks, and they would put tons of sauerkraut in there. And so my responsibility was going to get the sauerkraut out of the root cellar, which I hated to do that. Also stuffed bell peppers with sauerkraut. So we had fermented foods up the gazoo because there was no refrigeration in that house. There was no electricity in the house. There was no running water in the house. So when you have that type of situation on a farm, then you have to learn to preserve things. You have to use the salt. You have to use certain sugars. You have to use these things to preserve. But all of these things have no harm to the gut. Matter of fact, they improve the ability to digest food. Like if I'm going to cook with sauerkraut, I use a can. If I'm going to eat the sauerkraut out of the jar, then I want Burbies or one of the raw fermented products that you have to refrigerate.
Okay.
Because those, obviously, it's more nutritionally sound to do those things. Mm-hmm. So there's a thousand things that you can do. It's not one, like I wouldn't want to tell somebody to eat a whole bunch of chicory powder if it just gagged them.
Right.
But there's a thousand other products to use.
Sure.
Which will give you the fiber. And the fiber really works good, except inulin is in lots of foods, but if you eat too much of it, it will bloat you until you get used to it.
Mm.
So the answer is there's nothing that digestion doesn't involve itself with.
Well, let's say that you've got a good program of eating prebiotics and probiotics and things that facilitate good flora, but you're always in a rush. How does eating in the car, on the run, and eating fast affect your digestion?
Well, I got some relatives that I can take a bite and sniff the food and they're done.
Yeah. And that can't be good for you.
It can't be. It's not very relaxing, but your digestion is going to be influenced by that. Again, when you chew your food, you have a starch digestive enzyme, ptyalin, which breaks down. Then you swallow it, goes down into your stomach. You have some really nice acids and a bunch of other little goodies down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, acid basically is antimicrobial.
Right.
So if you remove all the acid, you have other problems.
Mm-hmm.
Acid goes down, gastrin goes up. And then if you look at the literature as elevated gastrin causes what, you'll get in shock of your life.
Right.
So the balance between all those things is equally important. There's a synergistic shut-off mechanism and a start mechanism from the time you bite something all the way till it comes out. There's a relationship from top to bottom.
Right.
Each one has a critical influence on the absorption, assimilation, and utilization of nutrients in general.
Mm.
But these are simple things to do. I mean, if you had to eat a container of plain Greek yogurt, on the label it says made with live culture, or does it says contains live culture. Always buy the stuff that says contains, which means it's still alive.
Ah.
And use the plain because otherwise it's located with sugar. You could always add some blueberries or something else you want to with it. But then you're getting bacteria every day, a little bit of yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could use the kefir, which I do. I prefer kefir on most cases because I can keep it in the refrigerator. A little teeny French, it's actually a little wine glass, little teeny one. And filling that up and then a glass of really good water. Mm-hmm. And that's, you're going to get your bacteria that way.
Do people drink enough water during the day?
Some people do. Some people don't.
Yeah.
And again, water is one of those things where you get, if it's commercial water, you get each philosophical or political thought as to what's good or bad. The thing with water right now is they don't have the technology to remove drugs from the water.
Hmm.
And I read this thing from Indiana Water because I have a farm there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one deep well, and we just had water from the city brought out. So the water is based on taste. We had barn water we had. For whatever reason, they hit sulfur water. My mom's house, when she built the house, they eat iron water. And right across the street, onto my little thing, my trust, is deep water, stream water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the water, it's just pure, and it tastes wonderful. Cistern water tastes, I was raised on cistern water, which is just a water in a hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I drank that stuff, actually. It didn't kill me. But it was just dirt water, it's called. But every water tastes differently. But the cities are having difficulty, I think, from what I've read from Indiana, of trying to isolate and be able to remove all those drug residuals, mainly be cholesterol drugs, chemotherapy drugs, this drug and that drug is in the water supply in microscopic amounts. I've read some European research on water as it relates to some of the bays in Scandinavia where they had drug residuals. Where did this come from? Well, obviously, if you take it, it's got to go somewhere.
Sure.
And if you take one drop of water that's in the universe, I don't think there's been any increase or decrease in water in the world. It's just about the same. But when we pollute with all that stuff, it's difficult to get those things out. Years ago, I had a crew come in from Hawaii from Japan through Hawaii with a crew here, and we did a 50-minute program approximately on mercury and other heavy metals in a particular bay in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on Japanese TV explaining to them about mercury poisoning as it relates to animals and people.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm going to get in trouble on this one, but I didn't. I really enjoyed that one. But anyway, water is also a taste issue. For example, I like Voltic. Oh, good.
As usual, we don't finish all the things we have to talk about, Dr. Downs, and our show is up for today. We thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Dr. Downs. We'll have Dr. Downs back on in 3 or 4 weeks. We'll see you tomorrow.
Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.